Coming up, it's all politics from NPR News. Welcome to It's All Politics from NPR News. I'm Ron Elving.
And I'm David Green, in for Ken Rudin.
Ken Rudin is not with us today, and we're glad to expand the talent pool available to the podcast by welcoming David Green, who is White House correspondent for National Public Radio.
And a better dresser than Ken Rudin?
Yes, clearly a sartorial superior.
The bar's low.
The bar is low indeed. Quickly, David, the president, the man you cover and have covered now through 6.5 years of his presidency, what would you say is the state of his presidency at this moment?
In trouble, struggling. It's a very bad war, but he had some good news now to report. He came out in the Rose Garden and he had a smile on his face because after fighting and fighting and fighting for 100 days or more, I think the White House liked to say, they now have a war spending bill that is not calling for troops to come home. And he came out and made it seem like the Democrats were just quivering and decided to give in. But of course, it is far from the last word the Democrats are going to have.
The Democrats have, in fact, given him a funding bill, a supplemental bill that will carry the war through September 30th, which will not have timetables, which will not force the president's hand between now and September 30th, but at the same time, leaving quite open the question of what happens to the funding of the war as we move into the new fiscal year on October 1.
Quite open. And the strange thing, Ron, is that the president, after saying no timetables, bad, 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 this could cause more violence, basically sets up his own timetable. He said that General David Petraeus, who's the ground commander in Iraq, is going to come back with a progress report in September. So they're not calling it a timetable, but I don't see how you could see it as anything else.
David, you're also out there covering some of the presidential candidates who are already running for 2008, and many of them are already, they're still, I should say, in the United States Senate, and they have to vote on this rather volatile issue of funding the Iraq war, which they so vociferously oppose. How are the Democrats handling that?
Well, it's kind of fun. They're dancing around, and it's, you know, when you like politics, it's fun to see candidates dance and not have a clear message. And in many cases, they also don't want to talk, which is such a rarity for politicians, because this is an issue that is just explosive.
Now, Christopher Dodd has said that he's going to vote against funding the Iraq war in the Senate, even though that may mean leaving the troops unfunded who are already in the field. What about some of the other candidates?
Well, Hillary Clinton, for example, came out and was talking about immigration, and someone shouted a question to her at the end and said, what about the Iraq war funding bill? And she kind of brushed it aside. And then I believe one of the cable networks caught up with her later in the day and said, Senator Clinton, what about the Iraq war funding bill? And she said, I'm going to get to that. So they clearly don't want to talk about it. They don't want to answer the question right now because it's a problem for Democrats. They don't want to be basically tied down to one opinion at this point because they don't know where it's going to go. And they have a huge force, the left wing of their party, and a lot of very vocal activists who are threatening them and saying, if you don't vote to end this war, we will punish you. And it's very rare to see Democrats getting attacked from within their own party in that sort of way.
And it's a special problem for Hillary Clinton, because she did vote for the war back in the fall of 2002 when Barack Obama was not yet in the Senate. John Edwards has left the Senate, and he did vote for the war then, but now he's outside the Senate, doesn't have to vote on this funding, and can say, oh, I'm against it. I think we ought to get out of Iraq immediately and not have the consequences of actually voting to defund the troops.
But the real change, Barack Obama, who in the beginning was able to say, I was against this war from the very beginning. Hillary Clinton, you voted for it. Now Obama actually has to vote, and that's giving him a bit more trouble.
A little less division for the Republicans who are in the Senate and running for president. They seem to be perfectly willing to go ahead and vote for the war to continue, even though they may have reservations about how it's been run. That's the way the Republicans have been playing the war as an issue right along. Their big division comes on the other issue that's before the Senate right now and before Congress in the next several weeks and the next couple of months, and that's immigration. That's the one that's making it tough for the Republicans. Let's listen to a little bit of the back and forth that we've already got going between some of these Republican candidates for president over immigration. Here's John McCain in a conference call with reporters earlier this week.
In the case of Governor Romney, you know, maybe I should wait a couple of weeks and see if it changes, because it's changed in less than a year from his position before. Maybe his solution will be to get out his small varmint gun and drive those Guatemalans off his lawn. I don't know.
John McCain having a little bit of fun at the expense of Mitt Romney, whom he is accusing of being a flip-flopper on this issue, as he has on other issues. But John McCain's really the guy in the crosshairs here, because he's such a strong advocate of this immigration bill, which is so unpopular among so much of the Republican base.
That's right. And we should say he was hitting Mitt Romney in like three different places at once. It was the flip-flopper. It was, we heard reports that Romney had people working on his lawn who were illegal immigrants from Guatemala. And also the varmint reference was because Romney had to defend his record as a hunter. He claimed that he was a hunter, didn't have a hunting record.
Lifetime
so he said,
hunter.
I'm hunting varmints, small rodents. That's why I don't have a hunting license. So McCain going every which way. But you're right. The reason McCain sounds so desperate to throw some of the baggage Romney's way is because all the baggage is on McCain. This was his bill. This was his issue. And now all of a sudden we see him waffling around and not being able to figure out the right message to have. And it's strange for McCain because on the Iraq War, even through thick and thin and very tough times, he has stuck to a position and decided to stick it out and say, I'm in favor of this troop increase, I'm in favor of this war, immigration, a totally different John McCain.
That was his image. He was the straight talk guy. He was the one who stuck to a position even when it hurt him. And in fact, that's what he has done in the main on the immigration issue, but it's hurting him bad. If you look at that whole lineup of Republicans in the debates, when immigration comes up, it's mostly a contest to see who can be mostly against it. Tom Tancredo, the congressman from Colorado, it's his one issue. Duncan Hunter, the congressman from San Diego, California, it's practically his main issue, although he talks a lot about defense as well. Most of the people on that stage are competing to get tough against immigrants and to have the rule of law prevail.
And not a surprise that John McCain decided not to be in the votes this week on immigration. And when it's your issue, pretty sad when you're not there to actually
vote. And when you say not in the votes, you mean physically not in
physically
the Senate
not
chamber
there to
vote.
To vote. That's
when
right.
when they voted on cloture to bring the bill to the floor and when they voted on the first couple of big amendments. The Democrats, though, are going to have their problems with this issue, too. And take, for example, Bill Richardson, who is himself Hispanic and who wants to be the candidate of the Hispanic aspiration in America, and yet also has to be careful not to be just the Hispanic candidate tied closely to a bill that probably isn't going to pass, isn't going to become law, and isn't going to be very popular with the voters in general. Here's what he had to say when making his formal announcement as a candidate for president in Los Angeles this week.
The proposal moving forward in the United States Senate is a step in the right direction towards establishing a path to legalization. But at the same time, it's a step in the wrong direction, because it separates parents from children.
I mean, Ron, if you told me that an idea that I had was both the right direction and the wrong direction, I clearly know exactly how you felt.
You wouldn't have any problem
with
that.
Not a problem at all.
No, that's good editing. I would say at this point that Richardson has the biggest problem in dealing with this issue, but I think Barack Obama might be right behind him.
Absolutely. I mean, Richardson has problems because he is at a border state. He has a lot of people in his state and in that area of the country who don't want illegal immigration. He also has a Hispanic heritage and a lot of groups who are counting on him. Obama in a different place, Clinton perhaps in a different place from Richardson. On one hand, you have people like Ted Kennedy who are out there saying this is the moment. This is the moment to help families. It's the moment to help immigrants. This is an issue that's been very important for Democrats. But labor, huge, very important electorate for the Democratic Party, they're very mixed. A lot of unions don't want this bill at all. A lot of them only want this immigration bill if it has a path to citizenship. They're very concerned with an underclass of workers in the United States who don't have guaranteed employer rights and what that might do to unions. So these Democrats are in one big mess on this issue, and they're trying to find places where they can seem like they're active and involved. We saw Obama, we saw Clinton talk about ways to tweak the legislation so it's more friendly to families. But still, when it comes to push and shove, one of the big votes on whether to even carry on with debate on this issue, Obama, Clinton, not even there to vote.
Not even present on the Senate floor. And they, of course, have the excuse of being out on the campaign trail, being in South Carolina or New Hampshire or one of the other early states, Iowa, where the caucuses would begin in the whole process. But couldn't they get back? If they wanted to, they get back in time for the debates. They get back in time for votes they want to be part of.
They certainly can get back. And the curious thing this week, in Obama's case, you see his schedule come out every few days. It makes a point of saying the senator's going to be in Washington because the Senate is in session. So theoretically, he was here, just not voting. So the question is, if you're going to be here because the Senate's in session, why aren't you casting a vote?
And when they aren't here, there's a lot of pressure on them to be at certain points on the map and on the campaign calendar, going to the early states, going to the places where they think they're going to have the crucial first test. Iowa is usually that first crucial test. And this week we saw a memo surface from one of Hillary Clinton's closest campaign advisors saying, Hillary, let's just turn Mother Iowa's picture to the wall and admit it doesn't matter that much anymore. We're going for the big states.
Right. Suddenly this soul-searching that a lot of the campaigns are doing becomes public in a memorandum from one of Clinton's deputy campaign managers, a deputy campaign manager basically saying it's a waste of money to be in Iowa. We should be looking forward. A little curious. You know, in our business, when we see something leaked and become public so conveniently, and
we
then
get suspicious.
Suddenly a campaign says, oh, this was just an idea. We rejected
it. We shot it down because we believe in retail politics at the street level. We want to get out and meet every little grandma in Iowa.
It has a whiff of taking a page out of the George W. Bush book of lowering expectations, because if you say, you know, we're thinking that Iowa might not be that important, we're thinking about not putting resources here. If Clinton comes in second or third, and that's where she's running in many polls in Iowa, her campaign can say, hey, remember that memo? We were thinking about leaving Iowa behind in the first place.
And we held our own. We did okay. We're right up there among the front runners.
Met expectations.
But, you know, we really all the time we're thinking a little bit more in our heart of hearts about New Hampshire, and now it's time for New Hampshire. And then from there, of course, we go on to the big states where they're really planning to do the competition. And when you talk about their fundraising and their money, can they really afford to be spending all that time in Iowa that they've spent in Iowa in past campaign years when it made sense?
Iowa seems very important, and I think it will retain its importance. If we remember what happened last time in Iowa, I mean, the John Kerry versus Howard Dean, if you can tell me that coming out of Iowa that it wasn't important and it didn't kind of set the tone for the campaign, then I'd be very surprised.
I think a lot of the media are going to divide into two camps, the pro-Iowa camp and the, I don't care about Iowa camp. I'm sensing, David, that you have something of a soft spot for Iowa.
I have a soft spot for Iowa.
Full disclosure, you have no Iowa.
Full disclosure.
You are a Pennsylvania.
I'm a Pennsylvania. I will say this. If you and Ken Rudin fall on different sides of the Is Iowa Important debate, God help our listeners to this podcast.
And I've always said that. That's it for this week's political podcast.
And as Ken Rudin would tell you if he were here, you can follow NPR's political coverage at npr.org/politics.
I'm Ron Elving.
And I'm David Green.
Join us again next week for It's All Politics from NPR News.